My lower third, I don't know why they were like, oh, what do you need money for? Grandma needs a new kidney. And I'm like, Grandma needs a new kidney? What the fuck?
I've never seen it. And why is that funny to y'all? If Grandma needs a new kidney, like, that's serious.
That's some serious shit. Grandma's gonna get that kidney. Pronto. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love Puppin' Suds.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Love it. Love it so much. Oh, it's happening. We're finally discussing Brink.
We're doing it, people. Also, we the Brink drink for me didn't quite work out. And if you're watching this on the YouTube, I'll show you what I'm drinking. If you're not watching this on the YouTube, you should be. And if you are, also like, comment, subscribe, tell your friends.
Yay. Yay. Go team.
Woohoo. My Brink drink today is a Barbie Olipop.
Oh my God. I love that. What does it split? What does Barbie taste like?
Peaches and cream.
Oh, I love peaches and cream, and I love Barbie, so that sounds good. Let me tell y'all about how my drink was faltered, but first let me introduce you to the drink that is, which I haven't actually taken a sip of yet, so y'all are going to see, if you're on the YouTube, you're going to see my live reaction. If not, I'll just tell you if you're listening to us. It is in a skull mug, don't ask. I have it from HHN. It does, sorry, flashing warning, everyone. And then... it can also just light up. But anyways, I'm calling this Puppin' Suds, which I didn't really come up with. I mean, obviously the movie came up with it, but also someone in the Discord, I can't remember who, said that we should call our drink that, or like Soul Skater, which I agree. So yeah. For my Brink drink, I'm drinking Puppin' Suds, and I'm going to take a little sip, see how it goes. Okay. Oh, okay. All right, Matt. Okay, hello. Still do it. She can still bartend. All right. So what I have concocted here is a little bit of cream of coconut with pineapple juice. So the coconut and the pineapple are kind of giving us our suds. I want it to look like a bath. And then it's coming with raspberry lemonade. So here's the thing. It's good. I'm taking another little sip. Yes. Okay. I'm picking up on that raspberry. Blue raspberry lemonade. So here's the thing. My original plan was to make a version and one of my favorite drinks at Disney, which is something at the boathouse called the Duck Duck Raz. I was going to basically make a mocktail version of that. And I would need something that was like raspberry, blue carousel is a big thing. That's what gives it that blue. It's like a little bit of lemon juice, simple syrup, like super easy. I was like, and peach schnapps. And I was like, well, I can put like peach nectar in it. It'll give the same probably vibes, I would assume. And so I had it all planned out. And then today, a freak storm passed through because like, summer in the southeast, you know, and
of course
literally electricity went out at work the last like 10 minutes of work, so that was pandemonium. And then we're all like waiting to leave the building because it's like crazy storming out and our parking lot floods and like insanely bad. So we finally leave. My shoes are sopping wet, y'all, and this is how dedicated I am to the cause. I only had some of the ingredients for this drink that I had in mind at home, and I was like, I'm still going to stop at Publix, where shopping is a damn pleasure, and get the rest of these ingredients. So with my sopping wet shoes, I squeak, squeak, squeak on into Publix, and let me tell you, I go to the little like mixer section by where they have wine, at least in my Publix, and they are out of blue carousel, which is like one of the main ingredients that I need to make this drink blue. And make this drink what it is. And I'm like, mother effer, what am I going to do? So I'm just squeak, squeak, squeaking through Publix. And I find this blue raspberry lemonade. And I'm like, game on. I can make something out of this. And yeah, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. It's very good.
I like it. That's very creative. I was never a bartender. I was always a waitress. So I don't know how to make drinks. But I was going to try to follow a recipe that I found online. But I just, the time got away from me, you know, and we only have one car.
Time be time. That is, yeah.
Yeah. One car is
sometimes. One I also like try to do my hair like 90s cuteness, and because my headphones, you can't even really see, but I just needed that to be acknowledged.
Oh, take your headphones off. Show the people.
Okay. Hold on. So I have like a little, some butterfly clips.
Oh, yeah.
Little flower clips. Also, like, I feel like my camera's just not showing it very well. But I was like trying to do like a good, like, Lizzie McGuire, like, late 90s, early aughts moment.
I love that.
And thank you. Thank you. At least in the thumbnail, hopefully, because I'll like stop a little picture.
Yes.
Hopefully, yes. Y'all will be able to see the effort that I put in. It was pretty minimal, if I'm honest, but still, still effort was taken.
I mean, more effort than me.
So, you know, hey, you're here. You're thriving. You have lights on today. This background gets better and better every day. Every time
we know. I had these, I've had these on before, but like, I don't know. Sometimes they come all the way in here. Sometimes right. They don't.
Sometimes they don't. Hide. It depends. It's, yeah. About the lighting and all of that jazz kind of makes a difference.
Speaking of backgrounds getting cuter.
It's like hard to see. I'm trying to find a way where I can do my setup to where we can be closer to it. So y'all can see, but you can kind of see. I made an Eras Tour gallery wall. And what I did is I took a picture from every time I've seen Taylor Swift, starting from the Fearless Tour to now. And I put them like with the Reputation. Oh. I don't know what's happening.
You're gone.
Oh, I'm gone? Oh, no.
I'm gone? Like that. We're both gone?
No, you. I can hear you.
Are we?
Can you hear me?
It's not doing anything.
Okay, great. What'd you do? What happened?
I don't understand how I managed to turn the volume all the way down on my microphone all the time. Like, how do I end up? How do I do that?
My favorite thing was, is that I could still hear you and yet you were pantomiming to me. So I was like, she's clearly trying to message to me, but you could have just been like, you're gone. And I was like, oh, she can't hear me. That was really good and I liked it. Okay, where was I? Eras Tour gallery wall, right? So I made it. I'm going to try to find a view where we can actually see a little bit better. But what I did is I took a photo. So obviously my like Stockholm poster I put up and like our little like movie theater freebie poster that we got. And I put a photo of every time I've seen Taylor Swift live. I printed those out and then I made frames to go with like each era. So like if I saw on the Fearless Tour, it was Fearless. Or if I saw on the Eras Tour, like what my outfit was. So it's a little hard to see, but I made like the little Evermore piano for when I dressed Evermore to when I saw her in Atlanta. And then the Sweden poster is, well, I'll post a picture so we can like post this on Instagram so you can see better. Is the, whatchamacallit, why am I blanking around? Surprise song, piano. And so, like the little lover outfit, I made like a lover photo, so on and so forth, right? So that was the thing. And I'm very proud of the fact that I still have my Fearless Tour ticket. Yeah. And so I put that up. I'm like, I don't know how I've held on to this long, but I have. I don't have the one to 1989. And I don't have any to the Eras because it was all digital, of course. But bring back real tickets because they're such a fun souvenir. And then you can have them forever and be people like, wow.
Wow. Wow.
But bring tickets. Damn it, Ticketmaster. You charge us enough in fees, handling fees. You don't handle anything. Give me a freaking paper ticket, at least.
Seriously. Seriously. Ticketmaster is such a little scam.
You suck.
I hate you.
Suck so much. But anyways, so that is the background update, everyone, for you. That's the latest. And without further ado, I guess we should talk about Brink because I'm very excited. This movie, unlike Cadet Kelly, held up really well for me.
Yes, I agree.
And may I also just say that of the DCOMs that we have watched so far, I think this is my favorite set of parents. I still think that they are not perfect parents, but they are way better than Xenon parents and definitely way better than Cadet Kelly parents. So this is the first time that I was like, you know what? I like these parents. So I'm going to give the Brinker family a little salute, a nod of approval.
I like it.
I have some issues with the dad still, but we'll get to that as we discuss. But he also has some good moments. So like pros and cons.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie did hold up. I was like glued to my seat like right away. Their slang.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's so 1998. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious to watch because it's like, whoa, that was like cool to say back then. And now it sounds
these people so like dumb. It sounds so dumb and ridiculous, but what they are doing, this like SoCal vibes, is 100% like people like this really existed, and that's my favorite part. Yeah, it's like this is real life, and like the outfits and just yes. So much about this movie. I'm like, no, but this really was the vibe. Also, that little sister is the little sister in like every freaking movie.
Yes,
and the actor who plays Val, which I can't think of his name off the top of my head, is also just like a bully in every sports movie because he's also an asshole in Little Giants. Mm. I'm sure he's a lovely person in real life. Maybe he's not. I don't know. Mm. But he is always playing. What is his name? Sam Horrigan. He is just always like, look at his IMDb picture. Like, he knows that he's like destined to play the bad boy.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, Val. Okay. All right, Val, go off. We see you.
Wow, what is Eric Von Detten doing?
That's a good question. His picture is also like his picture is pretty old at this point, I think, because he probably looks a hair older than this now. But his picture is also very like, oh, look at me. Let's see the most recent thing he has done. Okay, he was in, I don't know what this is, an upcoming project called My Acting Coach Nightmare, and he's playing a character named Mark. He played Sid in Toy Story. I'm sure everyone probably knows that, so he's been milking that one for a while because, you know, they're always making those. And, well, he wasn't featured in the fourth one, but, you know, at least in the, up until the third one. Some stints on TV, it looks like, but, yeah, it's been a minute since he was, like, you know, teen heartthrob everywhere kind of guy. I love that he always just plays someone, like, a little dumb, a little bit. Like, I just think, I mean, not to typecast him, but, like, he is from SoCal. Like, he just plays that type so well.
Mm-hmm.
He was destined to play roles like that.
I'm looking at his wedding photo right now.
Love that.
Angela Von Detten. Oh, she has her own website.
Oh, good at Angela. What you doing, girl?
Let's see. Oh, wow. Look at their wedding. So pretty. Oh, geez. What's happening?
Man, I'm invested now. I have to look. Eric Von Detten.
He looks so scary. Like, he's a scary looking dude.
Oh, yeah. He's. Oh. That's. Pretty wedding, though. Yeah.
Very pretty. But he is spooky. He looks like a cursed circus performer.
Is it bad that half of me wanted his wedding party to be like his friends from breaking the wedding party? But no, not the case. Obviously, yeah. Why wasn't Val officiating this wedding? Why does he look so weird? Like, he does. He looks like a weird old timey bitch. Also, what is this like photo? I think they're like in Hawaii here with their Hawaiian ice. But like, what is?
I know. He did not really stay a dream boy.
No, he didn't.
His wife is a real estate agent. That's what this website is for.
That's so tracks. He would marry a real estate agent, which is his mom is in this movie. It all started.
I don't think she's selling $14 million homes, though.
It all started with Brink. Look at this. Angela's very pretty, though, I will say. He outkicked his coverage, as my dad would say.
Yeah, he did good.
Also, this soundtrack, bangers.
Yes.
Absolute bangers. I also love that there is, like, a theme song in the credits.
Yes.
The Come On Brink. Did not have any recollection of that. And it started, nope. And they're like, Soul Skaters. And I was like, yeah, this is everything I wanted it to be and more.
Yep.
So good.
It was so good. I loved it. I mean, I loved it.
Truly.
It is another one of those movies, another one of those 90s shows where, like, he has an entire day before he goes to school. It's like, what are you doing? Yes. What time did you wake up?
Why is it that they always have time for, like, family breakfast and this? Like, that's not a real, no family ever did that.
And, like, going skateboarding. That's all they do.
Line skating, man, obviously.
Inline skating.
Broski. Yeah, this movie starts off and he's getting ready for the day and his little sister's like, I bet you're going down to Venice Beach, I think.
Yeah.
And he goes skate. So we're like, yeah, it's what he does. It's his whole life. He loves to skate. And of course he said something like this also is the most 90s thing I've ever seen. And like, y'all, I talked to some of my Gen Z colleagues about this today. Cause I was like, y'all don't know what it was like in the 90s when the boomers and the older, like the silent generation would literally get pissed off at you for saying, hey, what's up? Like it was a thing in the 90s. People were legitimately annoyed by that phrase. And it's so funny now because it is such common vernacular and it's not seen as like being like, hey, is not the thing. But people, hey, it's for horses. And like that was a thing you heard on the regular. And being like, yo, what's up? Anything like that? No, not allowed. So Gen Z, you think with your little terms that you've come up with, but something that is common vernacular now used to literally get people's like panties in a bunch. And it is very funny to me. And I love that, of course, this movie starts and he's like happy-go-lucky, like SoCal, inline skater, 90s teenager. And so, of course, he's like, yo, what's up? And his dad's like, the English language. And I was like, oh, my God. Cringe. So I loved that. And I also love that his dad is annoyed that he is in a good mood. Most people would love it if their teenager was in a good mood. And this dad is annoyed that his son is happy-go-lucky. And I don't understand. And also annoyed that, like, he has a passion. And we kind of discussed this a little bit on Tuesday. Like, if we were successful, like, our parents would be happy for us. Like, my parents, like, I was like, make it make sense. On one hand, I'm skipping way ahead, but on one hand, they have kept every single pair of skates that this kid has ever used.
Right.
But on the other hand, they act like, why are you skating all the time, boy? Go get a real job at the dog groomers. Like it just doesn't, like, and it sounds like this championship, which I'm like, how did you even get into the championship if you participated in no other events? But whatever, I'm gonna get nitpicky there. It sounds like it's the first time they've ever gone and watched this kid skate. And I was like, how? Like, do you want to know how many volleyball games, basketball games, everything that my sisters ever did, I was drugged to? I lived in a gymnasium. The sound of sneakers on a hardwood floor could lull me to sleep, y'all. I find it soothing because that is what I grew up around. And also to say, my parents also ran around the world for me, traveled all over the state for baton competitions when I was younger for me, cheerleading. They were cheering on the cheerleader when I did cheerleading, okay? Every game. And cheerleader, you were cheering on most of football, basketball. It's a year-long thing. Every game they were there for. And these parents, I'm pretty sure this is the first time they've seen this kid skate. And I'm like, why don't you have an interest in what your kid is interested in? I don't understand. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah. I didn't even, I mean, no, I guess I kind of thought about that. I was like, why haven't they watched him skate before? But like, dad was so grumpy in the beginning. Like, he's like, I kept writing down, like, dad's really going through something here. Cause like, yeah, what the fuck?
He's really having a crisis of identity. And when they do have that conversation towards the end of the movie, it makes sense. Like, I get, and you're like, wow. And like, there actually are some deep, profound conversations that they're like, that's a wow. It's like a good message, especially for a movie targeted at children. But I was just like, wow, this is really hitting him hard that he hasn't been able to go be a construction foreman something in a long time, in 6 months, and he can't provide for the family. And let's face it, 90s dads, like, that is their whole shtick. Like, they just really want to provide for a family. Mom's not showing houses or selling houses, and that's stressing them out. Things are, it's a hard time for the Brinker family, and I feel for you. I do think that it's funny that he's just like, why can't see Katie's normal? Like, she doesn't want to go to school. Like, some of it's kind of funny. Also, one of my favorite bits of the beginning of this movie, which is very like bold of Disney in a sense, is when they talk about the Wyatt family, and she's like, why can't we be homeschooled like the Wyatts? And she's like, it's because they're Mormon. That joke did not hit the same when I was younger. That went over my head.
Yep.
Now I get it. And I was like, damn, Disney savage.
Seriously.
And then I love that Katie's just like, why can't we be Mormon? And she's like, I'll look into it. And like, this dry, sarcastic voice. And I was like, this is insane that this is in a Disney Channel original movie, honestly. But I loved it. It might be one of my favorite parts of this movie, truly.
Yes, I loved that as well.
I love this. Okay, so let's go over our soul skaters. Obviously, we've touched upon Brink and his family a little bit. But we do also have Gabriella, who is Peruvian, and they really want you to know that. It's part of the law.
Yes.
Which I like, but sometimes I'm like, this is too much. And then we have Peter, which is more like the straight laced of the group, I would say. And then Jordy, who is like such a Bert. And I love that. He's like such a little weirdo. And he like has my heart, I think. And he believes in alien abductions and all this stuff. Of course, the iconic line at the beginning when they're all waiting for Brink to show up to the bus stop. And he's like, did you wake up this morning and say I'm gonna talk? Or did you wake up this morning and say I'm gonna skate?
When you woke up this morning, did you say to yourself, today I'm gonna talk or today I'm gonna skate?
Okay.
Iconic.
Iconic. Iconic. Truly on a next level. So I love that exchange. But yeah, I love that Jordy is just always like the last to know things. Here's the thing. Again, I'm gonna give Disney Channel props for, especially in the 90s. So a big trend in movies, obviously at the time, is like they were very into showing like tomboys. Like there was a lot of girl power stuff in the 90s. I think people forget. And now we're all like, why are they trying to make everything woke? Why are they trying to make everything feminist? And it's like, bitch, that's been going on for decades. But like, okay. And it's like, because we are all equal. And because like women do things. I don't like, I know that's crazy to y'all, but I swear we do. And we enjoy things. It's weird. So Gabriella is a tomboy. And this was a big trend at the time to have tomboys in movies. They were like, tomboys, they're a thing, stick one in a movie. And then there would always be a scene in the movie where like the tomboy puts on a pretty dress and all the guys are like, she is a girl. And they like are obsessed with her. And I love that this movie does not do that. It bucks the trend. She does have to wear a dress on the first day of school because in Peru, all the girls, she does like a full impression of her mom and it kind of cracks me up. Also, Gabriella reminds me a lot of an old hairdresser of mine. I thought that the very first day I ever went to her, I was like, she reminds me of Gabriella from Brink. And I was like, that'll be weird if I tell her that. And so I never did. But she also did roller derby. And so like, what are the odds? And
it my God.
Like, come on. Anyways, loved her. Love Gabriella. But... So, anywho, I love that they're just like, did you hear what happened to her? And they're all like, oh, man. And they, like, want her to be her normal self. Like, I love that this movie put her in a dress and didn't make all the boys be like, wait a minute. Our friend's a chick? Let's crush on her. Like, they're all just like, oh, my God, what are you wearing? Oh, like, how nice of you to sacrifice your shoes for me. And you're going to have to stay in that outfit today? Like, chef's kiss. I'm giving you this one, Brink. So good. I thank you for not falling into that very easy trope that you could have fallen into. Like, they just let her be her the whole movie, and she doesn't have, like, a makeover moment or, she's a chick moment. She's a soul skater, man.
She's a soul skater. Yeah, they don't make her, like, a love interest at all anybody at any point.
Any of the boys, they ever do any kind of thing. Like, I do love that Brink is the only one that calls her Gabby. Like, everyone's like, Gabriella, Gabriella. And he's like, Gabby. And, like, they could have gone somewhere with that, but they don't. And I respect them for that. I was like, yes, thank you for not making her a love interest. Or, like, making that be the tension between the boys is that they all have a crush, or, like, two of them have a crush on her. And then they get in a fight for that. Like, it's never that. And that is fantastic, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swallow a bug.
I just, like, choked on, like, nothing. I was just like...
Isn't that funny? I do. You're in the middle of talking to someone and you'll just, like, choke on your own spit or something when swallowing. Yes. So I'd be like...
Yes.
And people were all like looking at you because obviously you were just talking to them. And truly, I do it at work all the time and it's so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sorry, I just choked on my own spit. Something that I you think I'd be used to, part of my daily life, swallowing it, and yet here we are. Occasionally it just catches me by surprise, y'all. But yeah.
Who am I speaking of? I don't know. Val is such a good villain, and he has such a good villain name, and he has good villain hair.
Yes. Everything about him is just, yes, villain.
Villain. Like, he doesn't have any sort of redemption arc at all.
No.
This is, like, a total, like, good defeat. That doesn't only defeat evil, but, like, crushes its face into the mud kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, he gets kicked off his team.
Yes. Yeah, he loses everything. And you're like, yes, no redemption for Val. He's a shitty person. All of his friends turn on him. I like that from the beginning, Boomer is kind of like on the edge with the, like, why can't I think of their name right now? X Blades. We should know that. We just watched the movie. So, yeah, I love that Boomer from the beginning. Also, so many people get hurt in this movie. I forgot how many injuries are sustained. I was like, geez, they were really trying to, like, on one hand, Disney is like, this is cool. On the other hand, they're like, don't do it, kids. You're going to die.
Yeah, you're going to get crushed.
Yes. I was like, why are they, geez, this is like a oddly intense film.
Like, at the end, or not at the end, but, like, towards the middle or whatever, when they're doing that downhill race, it's like, how fast are they going? Like, the in the competition, it's like 43 miles an hour. I'm like, that's not safe.
No wonder parents didn't want their kids doing this. Jeez, I don't think I realized how fast inline skate. I'm gonna be real honest with y'all and, like, take away my millennial car, take away my whatever. I truly don't understand the difference between a rollerblade and an inline skate. I know that they're different. I can look at a picture and see that they are different, but I don't really understand how they are different.
I didn't know they were different, so.
Like, no idea. I can ask Mike. He would, like, probably know. But if I called him up here.
We'll be here all night.
We're just going to have to live with the uncertainty of that. I'll have him explain to me later. I'll fill you in.
Thank you.
But, yes. I love that, like, a couple of the guys are just, like, Val's goonies and stick with him until the end, which is maybe one of the funniest line readings in the whole movie. Which, okay, this guy does so many shitty things, and he literally almost, like, kills a girl, and they still stick with him. But when it's when he cheats on the race, they're like, we didn't know, man. And, like, that's when they leave him. And I'm like, I think we should have left him earlier, personally. But, and then I like that Brink's just like, you didn't know. Like, the way he says it, I can't imitate it, but I laughed out loud. I was like, that line reading was everything. It was so good. So that cracked me up. But yeah, Boomer being kind of, like, on the line since his, like, injury was an interesting storyline. I like that he kind of gets redemption. Like, he doesn't compete with the X-Blades. He seems to be kind of cheering on our Soul Skater, Pup and Suds folks. And then let me talk about the most 90s thing of this entire movie real quick, which is the whole sellout thing of it.
Yes.
In the 90s were so, like, against making money for things. And now, like, Gen X just, like, hated. Like, we all hate corporate America. Like, millennials, like, hate corporate America. Gen Z hates corporate America. Whatever. Boomers even probably do. But Gen X, their whole thing was their economy was great. Life was great. They all could, like, they basically, like, tripped into jobs. Like, it was the easiest thing ever. And it was, like, a well-paying job where they work there for a year and they get promoted. And they were like, I hate this. Life is so hard for me that I was able to buy a house a year after college. Man, mood apathetic. Like, they were the angstiest mother effers when they had the easiest thing. Like, at least boomers may have been a nom, you know? You're like, all right, like, maybe you had it rough sometimes. But, like, Gen X, literally, what is your struggle? And yet y'all are the most emo people I've ever met. Love you, Gen X. No shade. Gen Z heart to you. Millennial heart. My true soul. But, yeah, this is so, like, clearly Gen X writers wrote this. And this was in the, like, you're a poser, you're a sellout. Like, that was such a thing in the late 90s, early aughts. And, like, you didn't live until a middle school boy called you a poser because you were wearing a pair of Chuck Taylors. And you're like, their shoes? I don't, what are you talking about? This is not the thing. Loved that for everyone, let me tell you. But yesterday's boy who's yelling poser is today's gatekeeping fanboy who's like, you're a fake fan. And it's like,
yeah, oh
Christ, like, the, none of those things are real. So anywho, just this entire concept of, because again, this is when extreme sports are getting big, right? When, like, X Games is getting recognition, which of course is why we make a movie about it, because this is what is hip with the kids. And, like, there is nothing wrong about, if you are good at something and you love something, making that into a job. Like, making money off of it. I was like, now I'm like, hell yeah, sponsor me, baby! Like, let's make some money. So this whole sellout culture, we only do it for fun. I'm like, but you're entering a competition. If you're only doing it for fun, why do you want to win things? Like, I, none of it makes sense. What do you want? And I like that inevitably he does kind of admit, like, I joined the bad boy team because I wanted to be in magazines. I wanted, it's like, yeah, like, and that's a normal, like, you're not a bad person for that. And it is just so 1998. So the entire plot of the movie being like, it's bad to be a sellout. It's like, that's not a real
yeah.
thing. We are all struggling under capitalism. There's no ethical consumption under capitalism. We all are make money. Make money by all means. Like, go out there.
Literally. Like, and you can see. You can see by Eric Von Detten's, aka Brink's family, that like it's so easy to go from like living comfortably to like what he fell at work and hurt his back, and then they were almost
right.
homeless. Like, it's like make as much money as you can, however yeah. you can, really.
Well, like that whole speech that Gabriella gives when she's injured is supposed to be like uplifting somehow. Like, all our family's seen money. So, like, if you have a way to make, if you're a high school kid who can make $200 in 1998 money a week doing something you love, why wouldn't you do that? Like, I'm like, your problem?
Like, right.
Not to side with the villains here, but, like, no. My millennial right. ass, like, can't relate. I'm sorry.
Like, right. I'm, like, dying for the day that we make money off of this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I would love to make money off of doing something I love. Like, isn't that not everyone's dream? Like, hello.
Right.
Yeah. You know, one day if Dr. Pepper sponsors us, I guess we'll be sellouts.
And we'll you know be sellouts. What?
I can live with that. Soul Skaters for Life.
Soul surfers.
That's Johnny Tsunami. We'll get there.
Oh, we will.
We all need to eat at the end of the day, and there's nothing wrong. Like, I just don't. I also was like, this kind of seems like a bad sponsorship. Y'all are only making $200, but like, again, I know
it's not
money, but I was like, I think you'd be making more.
Yeah, I was like, $200 a week, and he's like, that's so much money, and I'm like,
is it? And again, the parents are like so opposed to this. Well, the mom sees reason and is like, honey, he can save for college. And it's like, yes, you don't know how bad it's about to be. Let him say that. Like, he doesn't need that student loan debt. And so I'm all for it. And the dad is just like, I'm going to get you a job. Which also, the one day that it breaks on his day, he goes to work at that groomer's for like an hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, what's your first school job? Would you? Yeah, man, I'm going to go put in an hour and 15 minutes. No wonder he needed to get 4 months advance. And this is another thing. I know that I was like, man, this movie holds up and I love it. And I do. But let me just complain about things for a minute. Because absolutely. At the end of the day, it's a 1998 made-for-TV movie, okay? Y'all, I'm going to nitpick it. But I love that. So they're all mad at him, which I understand they're mostly mad at him for lying. Which when they're making that cake, he's like trying to come clean about the sitch. And he just can't pull the trigger.
Friendships like a cake.
Hey, you guys ever notice that baking a cake is a lot like friendship?
Excuse me?
No, I mean, all right, you put a lot of work into it, right? And sometimes it doesn't turn out the way you expected it to. But it's still tasty.
I told you not to eat that spoonful of frosting.
And she's like, you shouldn't have had that frosting. The whole thing is great. Also, Val promised he wouldn't say anything. And then he comes in and is like, be nice to me. And also like, I'll see you later, Brink. And it's like, yeah, you basically just outed him. So anywho, didn't like that. But so what was I saying? Just got so heated about Frank that I forgot what to say. That's what this movie does to you, y'all. Anywho, yes. So they're mostly mad, obviously, because he lied and he went to go skate with other people. But again, this whole like sellout thing, and they're like mostly throwing in his face that he's the sellout. And Gabrielle is like, all our families need money, but you don't see us doing it because we're soul skaters and we do it for the fun of it. And it's like, you can still do it for fun and make money. Okay. So I'm mad at him. But the reason they forgive him is because he throws money at them. Because he buys them new things. And I was like, this negates the whole point of the story. This is the core of the story is ruined. That his friends only take him back when he's like, hey, I am using money. Here's things I'm buying your friendship, basically. And they're like, cool, new set. Exactly, kids. If you get a sponsorship, Dr. Pepper sponsor us, please. You get cool things. And what is wrong with that? Nothing.
What is wrong with that? Nothing. I know. That was so funny. It really brought me back to middle school when I bought a skateboard and everyone was like, fucking poser. And I was like, no, I'm cool, actually.
I'm just trying to enjoy a thing that's cool right now. Why isn't this available? If you like this thing a lot, why don't you want more people to like it? Every band, skateboarding, the Hot Topic aesthetic. Like, if you weren't born into it, which none of us were, you were called a poser for literally no reason. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, what are you listening to? Oh, I'm like listening to this like CD my friend burnt me. Poser. Okay, you were born knowing the knowledge of who Simple Plan, and it wasn't even like, no offense to Simple Plan, but it wasn't even cool band. Like in the grand scheme, like at the time they were like cool or whatever. But you're like, who was still listening to Simple Plan? No, like someone out there, I'm sure. But yeah, it was always guys, of course, to females usually. Sometimes girls were mean too, though, and would say it. Like the ones who, like, yeah. I don't know, got into their emo phase earlier and would be like, because I hung out with a lot of emo people and I liked a lot of emo music, but I never went full Hot Topic. Like, I liked shopping at Aeropostale and I liked Pink and I've always been a very girly girl and I never had my tomboy phase. Sorry, every 90s movie that said that I should have one. My sisters did, but they also played like real sports when I was a cheerleader. So, you know, anyways, I was always a girly girl, but I hung out with a wide variety of people. And so sometimes you'd go on Hot Topic and my friends were, and I was like, I want to go look. And they'd be like, this store isn't for you. And I'm like, it is for everyone. It was so mean. I was like, that's stupid. I'm like, I could also go look at the jewelry and the stud belts. Okay. Like, you didn't coin stud belts, Kaylee. God.
Kaylee.
Okay, there were a lot of Kaylees in middle school. Let me just tell you.
Yeah. I had a lot of Kates.
A lot of Kates. In your neck of the woods, that being a popular name.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just such a... I do love at the beginning of this movie, too, that there's basically, like, a group of adult skateboarders, and they make them go, like, beat up, like, threaten them. I was like, why is this adult man even taking this? And he's like, you children inline skaters! I was like, this is...
So, you got something to say? You got something to say?
I was like, who is this guy? I was like, this man is a grown-ass adult, and he's about to go take the word of this child... to go beat up another child, basically. Great movie. Cinematic masterpiece, truly.
Also, at one point, one of the guys goes to Gabriella, have you ever been arrested for impersonating a boy?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, is that illegal in 1998? Cross-dressing?
Right, it may have been. I would assume in California. Like, California is, like, more...
I feel like...
It would have been okay, but maybe not. I don't know.
Let's see. When... did cross-dressing
become... like, yeah, when was that legal? When was that legal? When was that on the board? I also did look up what the minimum wage in 1998 would be in California, because I was like, $200 doesn't seem that much. Like, what does minimum wage job be making about that much? And then I was like, well, not if he's working for an hour and 15 minutes every day, but...
yeah,
but I guess, I mean, minimum wage was like $5.75 at the time, which is crazy. It's honestly not that much higher now, which is even crazier. But I was like, yeah, I guess like $200. If you're a teenager, like that would be a lot of money, I guess. What does the interweb say?
So the birth of anti-cross-dressing laws, also known as masquerade laws. One second.
The suspense.
Okay. Also known as masquerade laws. Oh, I lost it. Oh, God. Stemmed from the increase in non-traditional gender expression during the spread of America's frontier and the will to reinforce the two-gender system, which was threatened by those who deviated from it.
Sorry.
Yeah, some of the earlier cases of U.S. arrests made due to cross-dressing are seen in the 19th century, Ohio specifically.
No one is surprised.
What an interesting, like, jab to make.
Right.
You're over here now Googling the history of cross-dressing.
Yeah, like, because of one random line, I was like, arrested? Are people getting arrested for that? I mean, I guess. And it's always been, like, frowned upon or whatever by, like, terrible people. But I guess I didn't really think about the fact that you just like walking out, you know, at the streets cross-dressing would get you arrested, but I guess. Learn something new every day.
Thanks, Brink.
Thanks, Brink.
That's true. What a great movie.
It was. There was another part too where so when in the school day, when he steals that kid's shoes and he throws them up into the wire, he's like, "Don't narc on me." And it's like, buddy, he's gonna walk into school with no shoes on.
How, like, you're gonna have to explain that.
Right. Except for, I will say that it doesn't seem like there are many teachers in this school. It seems like maybe four.
Except for right directly in the cafeteria.
Yes.
Because that lady was on him when he just stood up and had a small freak out over almost eating worms. But then they set up an entire inline skating course behind the building, which is basically right on the building. Like, it made it seem like it was something like a little off campus. No, it is right on campus still. They set the entire thing up, which would take a minute. And then we're doing a relay, which again is taking time. No adult supervision anywhere until Brink, because he's a good son and a good friend. Boomer goes down. Boomer goes boom. And he's like, oh my God, we need to get him help. Like, he is hurt. And they're like, teacher, teacher. And I'm like, how is the teacher not come? But like, how would you not hear that? All these children are like, woo, cheering him on, zooming on their skates. No teachers. Not a one. Don't understand.
I'm sorry, y'all, for the yawns. Yeah, in like all caps. Yeah, in all caps, I was like, where is the faculty of this school? I also like that there's iconic scene after he eats the worms and the teacher's like, what's up? What are you doing? He looks over at the soul skaters and they each hold up a sign. It's like, don't be a wuss. I was like, that's beautiful.
What if they had those ready? So good.
Hilarious. And it was like perfect comedic timing. Big fan.
Yes.
But also that teacher says to her, okay, it just says to him like, okay, well, get over it.
I was like, oh, she runs a tight ship. I was like, okay, no time for emotions here at this school, apparently. Jesus. Hold on. Mike is texting me. Did he hear my... Oh, he is hearing my discussions, apparently. Okay, this is what happened. So Eric Von Detten is literally like the same age as my husband, everyone. So Eric Von Detten was a teenager in the place of this movie. They don't give an exact age, but he would have been like 16 at the time of filming, which Mike would have been 16 when this movie came out, which is wild for me to think about. And yeah. So he definitely overheard part of our conversation because he said, I made $5.25 my first job.
Thanks, Mike.
I was like, oh, I can't hear that input. He's now running to the store. He also then updated me that. But I was like, oh, did he chime in with inline skates? But no, he's here to tell me about what it was like. He worked at a bowling alley, very alley cat strike, another decom, for his first job. So there you go. Apparently he was making $5.25 at that. Good old Long Island, New York.
Long Island.
Where are you from on Long Island? I'm from Ronkonkoma. He's from East Islip. I just really like saying Ronkonkoma. It's one of my favorite. What's the other one that starts with an S that's really fun to say? Can't remember.
Oh, also, man.
East Islip, not spelled the way it's pronounced. Any listeners out there from Long Island? There you go.
Shout out.
You're like, don't I know? Shout out. West Islip, East Islip, regular Islip.
Queens. Just kidding. Don't beat me up.
Oh, my God. They would.
They would.
Listen here, baby. If you're living in Brooklyn, you're living in Queens. And you can't tell me otherwise. No, you think you're different, but you're not. Okay. We're gonna lose subscribers.
Yeah, we're gonna lose some subscribers. Yeah, I went to college in the Bronx for 1 year. Nightmare year. And everyone who was from Queens was like so pissed anytime anyone was like, that's Long Island. They were like, no, it's not. It's not Long Island. Their accents.
Very seriously. My mother-in-law is originally from Brooklyn.
But grew up most of her life on Long Island, i.e. all of her life, because Brooklyn is on Long Island. But she makes that distinction. Well, I was born in this city. And I'm like, bitch, it's the same bit of land.
I know.
But you know what? I'm going to let her have it. If that's what she thinks, I'm
going to let her have it. If that's what she wants her origin story to be, then that's what it's going
to
be.
I won't take that away from her. Absolutely. And then Mike went to college in Queens for a year, kind of the same as you. And yep, and he talks about it. Like, you know, I grew up on Long Island and then I was in Queens for a year. I'm like, so down the road.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get home, Mike? Come on.
And then I went to school in Virginia and it's like, okay, Queens is new. Anyways, we've digressed into a whole Long Island geography lesson, and you're welcome, everyone, for
that. Yeah. If you're from Queens or Long Island or Brooklyn, let us know what you think.
Let us know your thoughts. Are you in Long Island? Sure you will.
What do we think? I'm
sure you angrily will let us know.
Probably, honestly. It's we haven't gotten that many angry comments lately. I'm really feeling good about that.
Yeah, and I think we wanted to spice it up, apparently,
today. Yeah.
Give you a fired up about something that they feel strongly passionate about. Please be nice to us. We're joking. It's all done and good.
We're joking. I'm from Boston. Do you know how much shit you could say about people from Boston?
So much stuff. I'm from Florida. We literally are a meme. It's fine. People make fun of us all the time. My whole life, just being made fun of.
Yep.
Still to this day. It's fine. Uh-huh. If you can't poke fun at yourself, what can you do? But I will say, and this is the one thing I always point out, please poke fun at Floridians. We deserve everything. Also, now that it is Ron DeSantis' Florida at TM, I can't remember what podcast. I think it was on Books That Could Kill. No, it was on Maintenance Phase that Mike Hobbs coined that phrase, because he literally was like, he was like, Ron DeSantis is Florida. And Aubrey Gordon was like, you said that like it was trademarked. And I was like, no, it is, because Ron DeSantis is Florida is different than Florida. Just so we're all clear. And so anyways, the one thing I do always like to point out to people, and by all means, continue with the Florida man memes. They are funny. But the only reason that Florida gets the flack for this is because they have one of the easiest open record laws in the country. And so journalists can just find this information easily. I'm gonna let y'all know, people are doing weird shit in your state too, okay? It's just harder to find public record. And so journalists can't write funny stories about some man, you know, doing meth with an alligator. But I'm telling you, weird things are happening. So there you go. But also continue with the Florida man memes. They're funny.
Yes. Yes. I know. I don't have any defense of Boston. I'm sorry for all that we've done.
You know how to throw a good tea party.
I'm sorry for Ben Affleck. No, I'm just kidding. I think people like him. I'm sorry that Ben Affleck was Batman. I'm sorry about his Batman stage, okay? Yeah. But I won't apologize for Good Will Hunting.
No, as you never should. What a great movie. Truly. A
great movie. Oh my gosh. Oh,
go watch it right now. Honestly.
I know.
Thank you. We should really thank Boston for Good Will Hunting.
Yes. Thank you for Will Hunting. Thank you for me.
Yeah. Thank you you're my favorite thing that's come out of Boston. That's for sure. Thank you for so many good challenge competitors, except for Johnny Bananas, who is not from Boston.
Fuck Johnny Bananas. But so many
other good ones. CT, the true Boston head. And you can hear it in Boston
head. A true Boston head.
I'm making it a thing. You can hear it in every word that he mumbles. That man really mumbles. But I love him. And so many other great competitors from Boston. So the only female to date, season 40 has not started yet, but it's starting soon. I'm excited. But the only female to date who has won a solo championship, so where either it can only be one person, guy or girl, she's from Boston.
Oh,
you know, that claim to fame. So yeah, she's the only female to do that so far, but hopefully not the last. Girl power.
Yeah.
I guess any other thoughts on Brink now that we've gone on this whole tangent?
Let me see. Oh, I really like another iconic line is when they're about to start that race in the school and Gabriella says, "You don't talk that much." And then she says, "I like that in a man."
So okay.
Chef's kiss.
one of my favorite lines is my lower third today, skate better. I actually want everyone to know the amount that I use a variation of that line. Like, the sister's just like, hey, skate better. And he's like, skate better, skate better. And it's like one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie because it's just funny. I will do that all the time. Like, just, and not just skate, obviously, but anytime someone's doing something, I'm like, hey, here's an idea. Do this better.
Be better.
And 100%, I give Brink full credit for bringing that expression into my life. So thank you for skate better from little sister. And I love the mom who's like, let's go back up and watch him skate better. The mom really has some great dry delivery in this movie. I'm a little bit obsessed with her. I know, like, dad gets the big emotional speeches and the time to shine, but mom is there with some great dry humor, and I think that we should all show some more respect for her.
Yes. Yes. There was another thing. Oh, okay. A couple more things. My lower third, I don't know why they were like, oh, what do you need money for? Grandma needs a new kidney. And I'm like, grandma needs a new kidney? What the fuck?
Why is that interesting? And why is that funny to y'all? If grandma needs a new kidney, like, that's serious.
That's some serious shit. Grandma's going to get that kidney. Pronto. What the fuck?
Broke me. That was so good.
Also, I feel like the vibes between Val and Brink were slightly homoerotic, yes. If I do say so myself. Like, yes. I kept being like, kiss. Now you know you want to kiss. You want to kiss.
Like, literally, Val is, like, a little bit obsessed with Brink, right? Like, he definitely has a little bit of a crunchy crush. Like, there's some tension. I also think one of the best insults ever is what Brink says to Val right before they do their last race. And he's like, no matter what, win or lose, I woke up today and I'm not you. So it's a good day. And I was like, oh, hold it back. That is fantastic. Like, one of those savage things you say to someone, we're like, you know what? Today's a good day. At least I'm not you. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay, Brink.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes, let him know.
Also, I would say that Val was kind of a ha-ha villain until he tried to kill Gabriella, literally.
Yes, which that scene, the way it is shot, is a little ridiculous, but
Just a smidge.
But still, I was like, okay, yeah, it's all like fun and games, 90s, like teenager pranks on each other. And then, yeah, he literally tries to kill Gabriella. And again, that's not where they turn on him. It's when he cheats. Which also, why is it only in movies when someone is filming something, you have to have another character go, you got that, right? And it's like, we visually could see that they were filming it. We didn't need to, like, he's like, yeah, I got it. And it's like, yeah, he's an ESPN cameraman. Of course, like, that's his job, is to film it. But that always happens in movies. Like, if someone is filming something, you got that, right? And it's like, yep. Because we saw them recording. We did, like, I was like, is that for the audience to make sure that, like, everyone saw that? Like, we got that from seeing that he was filming it. So that also cracked me up. And the ESPN announcers contradicting themselves when Team Pup and Suds first comes up. They're like, we don't know a lot about this team. And then proceed to tell us Brink's style during his run. They're like, so yep. Brink, he really does this and he did that. And I was like, how do you know this? You're not supposed to know anything about this team. And also, these people who were just doing it for fun are on the competitive circle enough that an ESPN man can tell you about your stuff. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
They're Soul Surfers.
I think it's because there's a movie called Soul Surfer. And oh no, your mic. But yeah, I'm sorry, everyone. I just want to say Soul Surfer. But
I do.
They're Soul Skaters. Whatever. They're like surfers, skateboarding, surfing, inline skating. Not to lump you all together.
Extreme sports.
It's all the same to me. I don't know enough about them to know the half pipe. The most is when I watch, like, snowboarding at the Winter Olympics and I, like, feel like I know things. I'm like, oh, he nailed that half pipe. But I don't know anything. He did something that's never been attempted before. I don't know. I have no clue. I'm like, sure, that looked great. It all looks great to me. All of you amaze me every day. Go team.
Yeah. When Brink, like, quits the first time and everyone's like, oh no, there goes your guy or whatever. And Val's like, he's not going anywhere. I wrote down and was like, he's like, my man would never leave me.
He's like, he'll come crawling right back. Yeah. I know him.
My man wouldn't abandon.
Like, when he quits the second time and he goes and like throws skates at him, because which is warranted because again, he tried to kill Gabriella. And yes. They're about to sit down to a pizza that looks really good. And he throws it right on the pizza. And I was like, no, Brink, not the pizza.
I know. I was like, damn, the pizza, Brink.
Like, Val's an asshole, but other people were going to eat that pizza. They were involved with that one girl who I never saw in any other scene but that one. She didn't do anything. She deserved a slice of this. Also, I was watching with Mike. Okay, so I started this last night. I finished it today. And I'm watching it, and Mike's, like, sitting on the couch playing on his phone, and he looks up at that point, and, of course, he's heard the dialogue, and he's like, gotta get some Zuh, bro. And I was like, yeah, we're all about that
Zuh. We're all about that Zuh, bro.
The Zuh, bro. So that cracked me up, and then the Zuh got ruined, and I was really sad for the all of Zuh. Them. The Zuh, man.
Oh, well, at see, one
we
point.
Just, we had beef, and, of course, we got anxious. Whatever that whole dialogue is when the car breaks down. I wanted to start playing for the dad. I want to play them. So yeah, had a bad day.
Taking one down. There's a song that
I feel like the dad, he really needed that in that moment. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, that dad needs that song to be playing right now.
Yes. Suspending,
still not back to your foreman job. Now your car broke down. It's going to be $900. Oh, I like also the shade he throws at his daughter. He's like, and if we don't get this mouth guard, she's going to have a smile like Picasso.
I know. I was like, damn. That's intense. Rude.
So rude. He's a straight shooter.
At one point in my notes, I also wrote Val and Brink sitting in a tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Hopefully,
I think that was like really all of my.
I guess let's briefly talk about. Okay, there's two morals of the story, which is it's the 90s, so don't be a sellout, brisky. Be there for the love of the game. And it's like, okay. So that's one of them, which again is kind of moot when his friends decide to be his friends again after he buys some stuff. And then the other one being that what you do is not who you are, which honestly, that conversation is really nice. And it's a nice moment. And I think it's something that a lot of people need to hear. A lot of people do define themselves by their job or, you know, stuff like that. I was like, it's a little bit different, my dude, because your son is just someone who like loves skating.
Right.
And like, that's your job. And it's like, you take pride in like being a man who can provide for your family. So it's like a little bit different, but I get where you're going with it. Like, no matter what, like, you're a good person. Like, I, you know, his thing about like the company you surround yourself with, like that was a really good message. I thought like, that's a really good line. So there are some good heartfelt moments in that. Pump and Suds wins. Brink turns down the, you know, X-Blade people. And he's like, nah, man, I'm a soul skater. Pump and Suds for life. And happy ending for all except for Val, who, yeah, gets absolutely no redemption. But who knows? Maybe Brink goes and makes out with him behind the half pipe. I don't know. Like, that's it's possibility. It's very enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
Is all that we're saying.
Yeah. Absolutely. I also, about that guy, about the X-Blades guy,
yes.
I wrote at one point in my notes too, like, are there no labor laws in California?
Right.
Because he's like, I'm going to need you 24/7.
Yeah. Like, that's not allowed, sir.
No. And then he was like, are your parents okay with this? And he's like, yeah. And that's all you need?
We didn't need, I was like, you're doing something where, as we have seen multiple times in this movie, you could get gravely injured and you're going at speeds of 42 miles per hour on these things with like a little measly helmet and like some elbow pads. This could literally be life or death. I'm going to assume if it's a minor, especially if you're in some kind of contract sort of situation, you would need parental signage on that. Like, you would have to get in contact with them. So I was like, very weird that he could just do that without his parents. But again, plot of movie, I understand. But yeah, I was like, okay, this guy seems weird. Another thing that was sketchy AF is when he talks about, oh, if we win competitions, we get bonuses. He literally just hands them $200 in cash. like just has that at the ready and hands it to the entire team. He's like, not bad for a day's work. And I was like, that is sketchy. Like, I thought they were getting like check. I'm like, do you just hand them cash every week? No wonder this is very under the table. No wonder the parents don't know. And then also, like, if Brink was doing it for his family, but wasn't telling them about that job, like, where was that money going? I don't understand. And he used his Puppin Suds money to buy the new equipment. He wasn't like, oh, this is what I made off of those bad sellouts, and so I'm putting it back into you guys because you're my soul skater friends. So I'm like, where did that money go? We'll never know. Maybe his mom wanted, he put it toward his college savings or something. I'm uncertain. But Brink, you know, we showed up to both talk and skate today, everyone. And it was a hell of a time.
It was a hell of a time. I'm so sorry that I ended up being in the dark. I
just progressively got darker.
I should have turned the light on at some point, but I didn't. But you know what? It's okay. It's the end of the day. We're taking it down.
Also, when they ask him about the shake, and he's like, chocolate. And they're like, how did it feel? And he's like, it was cold and it was so sweet.
Also, Val was like, they handed him a strawberry milkshake and he's like, a strawberry milkshake? What am I wearing, a skirt? And it's like, oh.
Yeah, you can't drink a pink milkshake? Like, what the
Fellas, is it gay to drink a strawberry milkshake?
Yeah. Asking for a friend. I was unaware of this.
So strange. I was like, wow, what? I mean, like, teenage boy, I guess. Yeah. I guess. I mean,
1998 teenage boy. Yeah. I don't know. Weird. But yeah, I totally forgot that. But yes, he's like, I'm wearing a skirt. And they're like, I'm like, but yeah. Also, this is not related to Brink, but I just wanted to be known that today I told someone, we talk about this all the time, like at our job, you know, whatever, that people don't trust us because, like, women, I don't know. Yeah. I told this man this thing about his child verbatim. The doctor told him this, and because this man is a man, and you're like, no, it's because he's a doctor. No, I can assure you it was not that reason. Because he was a man and told him verbatim what I just said, he believed him. And I was like, Siri, cue up Taylor Swift's The Man. This is bullshit right here. And yeah. I was very annoyed about it. And I just wanted to share that. So strawberry shakes are for everyone. Bahama Mamas are for everyone. Speaking of bartending, that was my biggest pet peeve. It's like when someone wanted to drink a drink that was good, that actually like had some good flavor, and their bro friends would make fun of them. And I was like, I didn't know drinks had genders. A weird thing to put on a beverage. And I put those little men right in their place every damn time. So anyways, drink what you want to drink, no matter the color. And my Puppin Suds drink was very delicious. I hope that your Barbie soda was good. It holds up. It's great. It there's a lot to make fun of in it. But overall, what a great cinematic masterpiece of our time. Some real iconic moments. I hope Jordy's doing good. Out of all the characters, I'm like, I really hope he's thriving. And Gabriella, they're probably my two faves. I hope that they're both thriving. I hope that y'all are soul skaters for life. And yeah, take care of yourselves. We'll talk real soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.